I was taking a look earlier at a survey from Go Banking Rates, and they say whether you're focused on building wealth, planning for retirement, or budgeting for the here and now, it's important to know the deal breakers in your relationship when it comes to the money challenges that you may face. So who holds the purse strings in your house? Let me know. Are there conversations that you have with each other over money? Are you on the same page? Hello and welcome to Karen Bobka.
Good morning.
And hello and welcome to Dubai Today producer Jo McKibben.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Both married. Jo, you have three children as well. So I guess there's a lot of financial management going on in your household.
Yes, and husband is, he's kind of in charge, but we're getting a lot better at discussing and being across it together, and really actually we're talking about it a lot more often, which feels quite dull, but I think that's a fact of living here and having a family here.
Well, I think anywhere, surely, yeah. I guess. I find that quite interesting that you think that's quite dull. Do you want to have that conversation? Do you want to know about your finances?
No, as you know, it's taken me a couple of years of sitting next to Karen and not breaking out into a sweat. So actually, it means we're making progress, and making progress is the way forward. And I am. No, I'm definitely. And that's what I mean. We're getting better at discussing it more and more and more often. And I'm now regularly being emailed the credit card statements.
So is that the same for you in your relationship, as the woman in the relationship? Do you know all about your finances, your joint accounts with your husband, or vice versa? Let me know. How does it work in your relationship? How do you manage it? Do you have a joint bank account? Are you just having two separate accounts? How much are you involved in the daily running of what is your outgoings and incomings when it comes to that budget sheet and balance sheet? Karen, for you as a financial advisor, the people coming to see you, does this come up? Is it causing problems in relationships?
It certainly does in some. You know, money is so important, and I know there's a lot of people say, oh, it's not romantic, and obviously we've got the V-Day tomorrow. I don't like to discuss these things, I don't want to have that discussion, but the fact is we all need money to survive, we all need to manage our money. So it's incredibly important that we have those discussions as early as possible in a serious relationship. And I'm not suggesting, you know, the first or second date with someone, you start saying, oh, show me your bank accounts and your credit card statements.
But once, and how much do you earn?
Exactly. Well, I think there are those that find that very important early on, aren't there? But it's something that does matter in life. And although many of us would prefer that it didn't, fact is it does. And when it goes wrong and there's issues, it's a major, major cause of stress between couples.
Do people come to you, you know, when they're looking to get married, and, you know, the sort of prenup or a version of, or just to understand what do we do with our joint incomes or our joint savings, or how do we move this forward once we sign on the dotted line and become a married couple?
In fact, I don't think I've ever had anyone come to me specifically to ask for information of how to manage their finances together before they set up home together. I don't think anyone ever has. Usually what happens is someone comes to me when they've got difficulties. It's that way around. So it's fixing things as opposed to setting out the roadmap initially. And I think maybe this is something that I should be writing about, to give some guidance, because I really do think it's an early discussion. I mean, you know, I'd love to, for listeners to tell us how many of them have had rows about money, and I'm fairly sure the number's going to be quite significant.
And what is it about money that you're arguing about? Is it about the spending? Is it about the savings or lack of savings? It could be that you feel that your partner doesn't spend enough. It's too tight with those purse strings. So what is it that you're discussing when it comes to money in your house? What is it that concerns you? Or indeed, if you're arguing about money, what is it? Let us know. I also want to ask you, as it is Valentine's Day tomorrow, what you expect your partner to spend on you on that big day, that romantic day that is Valentine's. So what do you expect them to spend on you gift-wise? Let me know on that number as well, 4001, or via the Messenger app. So Karen, you really want to help people today with this. And as you said, if we back it right into the early stages of a relationship, or when you know it's getting serious, that's when certain conversations need to be had.
That you really should. I mean, research shows that something like 7 out of 10 couples cite money as a cause of tension in a relationship. Well, you'd rather be in the 3 than the 10. So pick up on this early on. And it's not necessarily a case of, I want to know every single dirham that you earn and what you do with it. It's making sure that you're kind of on the same page and you understand where you're heading, how you both want to plan for the future, how things might work out between you if you have children and one of you isn't going to be working. Are you thinking the same way? Are you thinking for now? Are you thinking for the future? Those are the kind of the broad discussions that you need to be having.
You can also perhaps read and see signs, can't you? So, who picks up the bill, or if somebody puts it over a credit card, or use of credit card, or credit cards quite a lot. Now, it's a difficult one because you don't want to be too judgmental. You do need to have conversations, but you can start to see and read how somebody is around money. Are they a spender? Are they a saver? Or are they somewhere in between? Did you notice? I don't want to put you on the spot. It'd be all about your relationship. You don't.
No, but I'm just thinking. I think that what happens is that you kind of work parallel. When you first get together, we were both working, living in London. I was always broke, living in London, first few jobs, So it kind of happens organically, and then you take these steps together. And we always had separate bank accounts. And it was only sort of further on in the relationship that we kind of went, should we get a joint bank account? It makes it a bit easier for bills, etc. But we still had our separate bank accounts. But we never actually had the kind of, let's talk about the future, let's talk about the monthly planning. It was just kind of shove it all in the pot, pay the bills, survive.
Mm.
I think that's pretty normal. You don't have to have joint bank accounts to be doing this together. And generally, I wouldn't advise most people to do that here anyway. But it's just having an openness in your relationship and not hiding things. Again, I come across an awful lot of people with large amounts of debts and credit card debts. And sometimes the spouse doesn't know about it. And they've come to me because they want to know how they can get that paid off without someone finding out. Well, that's a really sad situation. And what can I say? Honestly, in a relationship, and it's not about right or wrong, or that you should both do this or both do that, or you have to have spreadsheets every month when you sit down for your date night or anything like that. But it's just getting to a point where you can be open about it and not scared to have that discussion.
Because some people, no surprises. You don't want to get the surprises. Now, if anything should happen to your partner, whether it's the female or the male, mm-hmm. in the relationship, and suddenly you're left with debt, or you don't even know about certain debts, or how to even pay bills, if you have to then start taking care of the finances. So interesting. Eamon says, we found a way around fighting over money. I simply don't make any or enough. There you go. We are looking at money in relationships with Karen Bobka, financial consultant with Holborn Assets. She also has her weekly column On Your Side, which is in the national newspaper, and her blog Financial UAE. Dubai Today producer Joe McKibben's here as well, and we've been looking at stories and info, things to consider in your relationship when it comes to your finances. People texting in on this, one person here saying, joint accounts for both salaries and outgoings, savings account in my name only, and offshore account works for us with total transparency. UK onshore account as well. So how does it work in your household? Let me know on 4001. Joint account, separate account, savings. Interesting there. The savings account is in one partner's name only.
Well, there are... there's not necessarily a right and wrong way about having things in single and joint names, except I have concerns about people potentially having a lot of accounts in joint names in the UAE, particularly if they are not Muslim and they do not want Sharia law to apply. There could be complications there. So quite often it could be in your interest to have accounts, have separate accounts with full knowledge, and then keeping monies outside of the country. But that's a personal setup there as well. But I think the key here is the openness and the honesty. And if you have married someone, you have, in theory at least, made a commitment to them for the remainder of your life that you are going to be together. If you can't talk about certain things, then that's a red flag in a relationship, isn't it?
So that message was from a woman, so thank you very much for that. Lena says, very true, being open about the financial situation, whether good or bad, is so important towards a healthy relationship. A breach in that trust is irreparable and irreparable and heartbreaking. It's not about the money lost, it's about the honesty in a relationship. Now, that's interesting, Lena, as well, because looking at this survey, just quickly, Karen, regarding, and what the survey was really about was they wanted to explore if people broke up over money. And I'll give you the results of that survey later on, and you know, let me know what you think. Actually, breaking up as a result of financial issues, it could be ending a relationship because your partner didn't make enough money, it could be ending a relationship because your partner lied about money, or because your partner put you into debt. They're just some of the reasons. But what this survey does from Finds Discovery, it's from Go Banking Rates, is that people tend to think that money is vulgar, so they mask talking about it, even in a breakup. This is according to April Massini, a relationship expert and founder of relationship advice forum AskApril.com. While the breakup may be caused by one person not working or not contributing to the mortgage or rent or going out, social or even gifts, the romanticized and sanitized reason given for the breakup may be we had different goals in life, we wanted different things. So it's interesting how people even then might not actually say it was down to money.
I think that's really interesting, and I think that hit the nail on the head with this idea that money is vulgar. It's a kind of old-fashioned view. Maybe some of the things you do with money might be a little bit vulgar, and maybe going around showing off because you've got loads of it and, you know, waving your fancy car keys or something. Yeah, I'd put that down as vulgar. But having a sensible discussion about your lives together, which happened to be about money, no, completely disagree on that score. And I think people need to get over that idea and realise this is a fundamental in life and a fundamental in a relationship. So you've absolutely got to get that right and work together.
What about gender? Does it make a difference? Is it just down to the individual? Or do you think men's approach to money, women's approach to money is gender specific?
It can be. It's not always, and some of us are exceptions to those rules. Broadly speaking, this is very broadly, women are often more cautious and will worry more, particularly when there are children involved. Men tend to be a little bit more optimistic about what will happen and where things will be heading. Broadly speaking, before someone picks me up on that.
Or maybe the man says that, but really is harbouring concerns, but just, you know, wants you to feel that they're in control and everything's okay.
I think that's another good point, because it's not macho to be concerned about money, is it?
And depending on gender, of course, it's a difference in salary that can put pressure on a relationship or that can put things off balance. And, you know, that inequality can make the lower earner feel as if they don't have as much right in the relationship to say something. But equally, it can put the higher earner under financial pressure and burden to feel like they have to, you know, supply.
Yeah, completely. So what you have to then do is tell your partner how you feel about that. And just because someone earns more doesn't mean they have the right to make all the financial decisions. If you are a couple, then that should be all kind of shared money, really. But you need to have that discussion. And if you feel bad in some way about that, then you may find that your partner will be really quite understanding of that. You've just got to kind of lay your cards on the table, and if they're not understanding, well, they're the one with the issue that needs to be talked through.
But you know, I think that's a real situation for people feeling that I'm not bringing money in, so how can I, you know, or even if somebody actually uses that against you and says, well, you know what, I'm paying the bills, so therefore that's the way it is, this is the way it goes. Are you finding, Karen, and all the years that you've been practicing as a financial consultant in the UK and here in the UAE, it is changing, isn't it? I mean, you are seeing now where you've got dual incomes, both the husband and wife, and in some cases, the wife is earning more than the husband.
Oh, I'm delighted to say, in a surprisingly high number of cases, the women are earning more than the men, and that is the case here, except, and here's the interesting one, women don't make a big point of saying anything about it, because men tend to be a little more sensitive about not being the higher earner. All, but there is that machismo thing that goes on again. So it has changed, but then you've also got, as well as that and the parity, and obviously women in the workplace, that's changed over the last 50 or so years. But what you also have here is a lot of, the old-fashioned term is the trailing spouse. And it tends to be more that way around than the other, who has followed their husband through different countries. So she hasn't established her own career. She's largely at home with the children. He's the one with the money. So there's that setup. So that's where that imbalance thing that Joe was talking about just now. So there's lots of variations, but there's not a right or a wrong or a better or a worse.
No.
It's just working together.
Exactly. So it's about being happy in that situation, being satisfied. It's working for you as a couple.
Exactly. What works for you?
Karen Bobkus here. Peer, financial consultant with Holborn Assets. We're talking about relationships and how it is in your relationship. How do you manage your money, your finances when it comes to incoming, outgoing, but you know, savings as well. Do you have a threshold spend? Do you decide whether it be monthly or indeed for special occasions, maybe holidays? Do you agree together what your spend will be? Let me know your thoughts on that. Also joining us is Dubai Today producer Joe McKibben. Now, lots of messages coming in. I'll get to those in a moment. I just wanted to pick up on one message here, Karen. Off topic, because of course you are here to help people on any issue to do with finances. And one here asking, can you advise on the process if one wishes to lodge a complaint against one of the IFA companies based here in Dubai? What's the regulatory body that controls these companies?
Right. Okay. First of all, there are several different bodies that a company can be regulated by. So you need to find out which company that is. The first step, however, is to register a complaint with the brokerage itself. So you write to them explaining what the issue is, what the problem is, what you want to be done, because every company ought to have an internal complaints procedure and they should be looking at these things and dealing with them. If you're then not getting the response that you actually want, you then go to their regulatory body, and it could be a number of them. It will be disclosed in the company's terms of business. They're obliged to tell you that, and then you can go to that body and put forward your complaint.
Well, I hope that helps. Keep your questions coming in on 4001. Lots of you texting in today when it comes to Valentine's Day, and do you expect a certain amount of money to be spent on your romantic gift, or if you're going out? Let me know your thoughts on that. And here, a rumour, George, good morning to you. We're driving through the heartland of Gujarat and listening in. My hubby and I compliment each other very well on managing finances. We both work. I document our expenditure. He analyzes our spend. I've created a spreadsheet that tracks our spend monthly and yearly and item wise. So there's a very organized couple, and clearly both literally on that same Excel spreadsheet page.
Literally, yes, they are, aren't they? Good for them that they're doing that together. Now, I would say, just because you have to be honest, it doesn't mean that you both have to do all these things together. It could be that one of you prefers doing it, one of you is just a bit more of a numbers person and wants to take the role on. That's absolutely fine. It really doesn't matter, as long as the other person knows what's going on, knows where the accounts are, knows where the savings plans. That's the honesty part that I want to say. But you don't necessarily have to plan it all together. Now, clearly in my house, you know, I'm the numbers. It's what I do. So my husband gets let off on most of that, but he knows what there is and where it all is. He's just got very little interest in doing it. But it's what works for you, as long as it does work for you. That's the important thing.
I'd quite like a copy of that spreadsheet.
Yes, yes, you could be running workshops, a rumour, George, for us all. She also goes on to say, writing these messages made me realise Valentine's Day messages can take on all forms and reasons. So, yeah, your thoughts on Valentine's. Have you got a spend for tomorrow when it comes to the romantic gift? Let me know your thoughts, how it is for you in your relationship. Lots of messages on this. Another one here actually about somebody that's going through a breakup. It's not to do with finances. That's not why we're breaking up. But I wanted to ask Karen about how to go through that process. And she says, I've got a good idea, but what I maybe need to be aware of when it comes to separating bank accounts, where they've been joint bank accounts and we're living and working here in the UAE.
Okay, this is a big topic and it's a tough one. It kind of depends on how good your relationship is at breakup. Now, they sound a little bit trite, but there are those people who break up amicably and who are fully willing to disclose and they can work that through. There are, however, and I've come across far too many cases of this recently, which is incredibly sad, where marriages have broken down and there's a lot of animosity, but where you've got a situation where one partner has the purse strings and the other has nothing. And often, sadly, that is the wife who has children, but has no access to any money, no bank accounts, and simply does not know what to do. So that's the sort of the harder one to deal with. And it does sound like this person has a kind of a handle on things.
Yeah.
That's very much a case of sitting down and working out what you shouldn't be doing. Now, there are some things that you can't split. So maybe one takes one asset and one takes another. In certain countries, if you're going through the divorce process, and I believe this is the case in the UK, for example, you have to go through a financial settlement that has to be approved by a court to make sure that what's happening is equitable and fair. On that as well. But you can do that yourself if the relationship is at a point that you are able to have those discussions. If not, then that's when lawyers get involved and it gets expensive. On the situations that I've seen recently, it's just awful to be saying this. I think this is where people need to perhaps plan ahead. And I do not encourage people to have secret bank accounts, but sadly, I have seen some cases where I don't think that the woman has any other option but to set up an account and to start trying to put some money aside for her own benefit, because otherwise she has nothing. It's terribly sad, but these cases do happen in bad and abusive relationships.
Donald says, I think for men particularly, it's very hard to admit that they have either mismanaged finances or that they've less money than they would like to portray. This can result in secrecy to maintain self and spousal respect. So thanks for that, Donald. Keep your messages coming in and your insights when it comes to relationships and money. Now, conversations, it's all about communication. What about when you're coming to the point in your relationship where you're planning to have a family, you're going to start having a family? Did any of you discuss about what it was going to cost? Did you discuss what it was going to cost, Jo?
No, and I think if you do, and if you actually look at the figures, you would never have children.
Really?
Because you would never believe actually how expensive they are. And here, according to CNN Money, a middle income, and this was released on the 9th of January this year, 2017, so it's relevant, a middle income married couple with two children will spend an estimated $233,000 to raise a child that was born in 2015. So that translates as 860,000 dirhams per child to raise a child.
From sort of birth up to 18 or 16.
I would have thought 18, and then the college funds come later.
Wow, it's a lot of money, isn't it?
That could be a lot of financial planning.
That could be the lot, but other type of planning as
yes.
well, quite possibly. When you see those numbers, it's terrifying. And we all know the price of school fees and how much they keep going up, and that's the tricky one for many people as well. It's a tough time, isn't it? I mean, ideally, and again, I know I sound like, you know, the least romantic person in the world when I say these things, but ideally, you plan ahead, and if you're going to be having children, it would be sensible if you could be putting money aside to cover some of those costs. Bear in mind that not only do you then get a small person who's terrifically expensive, you often have one person in the relationship, typically the woman, who then stops work for a period of time. So one less income, a lot more expense. Stressful having a small baby, even more stressful if you've got money problems as well. So if you can, you're able to plan ahead, then it will make life a little easier.
I think that's it. It's not predicting the worst and the idea that it's all going to be doom and gloom, but life happens, doesn't it? And it can throw you a swerve ball. And whether it be that one partner loses their job and the other one needs to be able to earn, it's that flexibility. But the more you can plan. So on that note, Karen, you know, the sort of things that people, you know, saving plans, how people put their money aside and obviously want to get the best interest they can, what sort of things are out there at the moment? I mean, it was interesting, I was in the UK recently looking at, I was actually looking myself about this, and my mother was saying to me, do you know what, at the moment there really isn't that much in the sense of putting your saving money and hoping to get a big interest. I mean, she was talking about things like the best idea at the moment would even be premium bonds, which I was sort of quite old fashioned, but apparently they're quite popular now.
They are, and I suppose that the kind of equivalent to the UK premium bonds would be national bonds here. Now, the thing is, interest rates are low. There's talk about them increasing a little bit, but that's probably just going to lead to an increase in mortgage rates and not so much to savings rates. And the fact is, if you've got money in cash, you really are not going to get anything in the way of interest. But, and this is very important, you still need to keep a certain amount of money in cash just in case as your emergency fund, and you have to forget the fact that it's not making you anything, or that maybe in real terms when you factor in inflation it's going backwards. We all need to have that emergency fund for, as you say, the redundancy, or if, you know, there's the unexpected child comes along, or all these different factors. We all need to have that. So you forget the interest rate, you need to have that anyway. Here the you know, a good option for many people could be looking at putting some money in national bonds. Now, they don't give you the returns that perhaps they did a number of years ago, but they're essentially capital secure, so that's quite nice. And then there is the yield that's paid out each year. It's not interest because it's a Sharia compliant product, and I'm not even sure it's been announced for last year. Actually, I think the year before it was only a couple of percent, but still, but you know, it matched the better deposit accounts here. But there's the option of winning. Incidentally, on UK premium bonds, there's not an annual yield that you just hope for a return, but it's really only about 1%. If that, so
sure. And I don't know if you can have them if you live overseas.
No, you can't take them. You have to look at the options here. And then otherwise, if you're looking at putting money aside, you have to talk about actually investing it. And that's making that leap for generally higher amounts into things that are property, other asset classes, equity, shares, that kind of thing.
Which you might not be able to get your hands on quickly if you need to suddenly take...
Exactly, and that's why you need to have money in cash. And we all need to have probably more now than I would have suggested to people 10 or 15 years ago because of the nature of the world and where we're living as well.
We're looking at money and relationships and how you handle your finances and hopefully not falling out too much over it. But as I started off at the show looking at this Go Banking Rates survey, breakups... Are they, where breakups have happened as a consequence of money? And it was interesting to find that actually only 10% of breakups were due to money directly. So that's encouraging. However, it does go on to talk about, depending where you're at in your life, usually, and the financial pressures you have, which kind of makes sense. It's going to put more pressure on you, potentially, how you might argue about money. So, if you're a millennial, if you're in your 20s, you may not be so worried about it, but as you get into your 30s, 40s and 50s with more responsibilities, the pressure's on, and so the pressure gets put on each other. And then as it eases into later life, hopefully it eases, then you're much more relaxed about money and how your partner spends. Just wanted to add to this, though, which I found quite interesting. When it comes to financial infidelity, not such good news. Financial infidelity happens more often than you might think. Almost one half of adults, 42%, in a Harris poll for the National Endowment for Financial Education, admitted to financial deceit in their relationship. Additionally, 75% in the same poll reported that financial deceptions have affected their relationships. So there you go. So tips, advice, more to add, Karen?
Yeah, hiding stuff from your partner is not a great plan, is it? I mean... I'm sure most people have sort of bought that extra pair of shoes or, some electrical item that's not a massive amount and just kind of fibbed a little bit about it. Oh, I've had this in my wardrobe for ages. So that goes on. That's not so bad thing. But when it's large amounts and you're getting into debt and you don't have the money, that's where the worry is, isn't it? And I think, again, it's about talking to your partner and it's how you approach that discussion. And maybe you need to be quite sensitive in some places. If you know that your partner's back is going to get up when you start raising the topic. So it's how you approach it. If you're asking someone to step out of their comfort zone, that's tough. So step by step, ask them. Don't tell them. Ask if you can discuss something. Don't say, we are going to. I'd like to have, could we? Softly, softly.
Rather than just jumping in with both feet and saying, we need to talk about money.
Yeah, that's quite abrasive, isn't it?
Well, Joe found this article about things that, top five money issues couples argue about, including we can't decide whether to manage money jointly or separately. My partner's in debt. My partner spends a lot more than me. We aren't open about money. So there's some of the things that people might argue about. And then you found, Joe, some advice and sort of things to consider about how to communicate with each other.
Yeah, and I think it's quite interesting to say, look, you can make money vows and wedding vows often include taking your partner for richer or poorer, and you can easily say, let's be financially faithful to each other and make agreements. For example, you could, again, what you were talking about earlier, binge spending. Say, okay, you're allowed to binge spend, but let's say that it's $100, dollars. Okay, let's say it's 500 dirhams a month. That's what you're allowed to just go for. And you stick to those vows and agreements that you've made. And also, when couples are having a money discussion, it's very easy to change the subject to deliberately avoid having an argument. So actually, what you almost need to do is say, right, let's write down three topics that we're going to talk about. You keep, a maximum of three topics. And I like this piece of advice. You can leave the room after each topic to take a bit of space and then come back to the table, because it is something that people argue about.
And where did you get this from, this advice?
This was from, also it was from the Go Banking. It was the same survey. It was on the back of this very interesting survey, your survey about why people break up. It then went on to give some superb advice.
Yeah, very good indeed. Somebody here saying, where can I seek financial advice? It seems that me and my partner don't know how to handle money and always find ourselves short of money. money, although we are well paid. Well, Karen Bobka, she's here. She's with Holborn Assets. She's also up on our website. She has her her own blog as well, Financial UAE, so you can connect with her there.
There is an article on there about budgeting that's very useful. And if you keep coming to that point when you're going, where is the money going? Then what you have to do is that very boring thing of keeping a budget for a few months. And then you'll see what's happening, where it's going, where you can make savings. And then you can move on and do things better.
Karen Bobka, always a pleasure. Just quickly, we had this call in from Ali. But Ali, this is a very, I'm not taking anything away from you, Ali, but this is a really good question in one way, in that I think it's something many people think about. But Karen, what's the best and safe way to invest in Dubai on a monthly basis, maybe using 2,000 or 3,000 dirhams, but nothing too risky?
It's one of those questions that I simply cannot answer without knowing a whole heap of things about an individual. So it depends on what other assets they've got, overall their views on risk, and they said relatively cautious there, the time frame, their income. There's lots of different options, and there is no one size fits all, and advice is about sitting down with the individual and working out what is right for them as a person, not just providing a generic solution.
Thanks so much to you, Karen Bobka. Until next month.
Thank you.
And to Dubai Today producer Joe McKibben.
Always a pleasure.